In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the second week of Lent. We're just finishing up the second week. And the church continues to give us epistle and gospel readings to encourage us on this path of repentance that we've set out upon. Most of the readings during Lenten weekends come from Hebrews, the Epistle to the Hebrews by St. Paul, and from the Gospel according to St. Mark. So today's reading from Hebrews is an encouragement by the Apostle Paul toward the Hebrew Christians, the Christians who were from Jewish descent, who were struggling with persecution. His letter was written as a general letter to all of those from his own people who had believed in Christ and yet were struggling, facing persecution, not just from the Roman authorities, but even more so from their own kinsmen, who ostracized them and cast them out and even punished them where they had the ability to do so. And St. Paul encourages them in various ways, but mainly the thread that goes throughout the Epistle to the Hebrews is pointing out how everything that happened in the Old Testament, all of the things that God did for the people in the Old Testament in order to redeem them, that all of these things are fulfilled on a grander and absolutely perfect scale in Christ. And so, therefore, it would be a mistake for them to even consider turning back from Christ to the Old Covenant, because the Old Covenant is worthless compared to the New Covenant that's come in Christ. So in today's reading, St. Paul tells them to exhort one another so that they may not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And he points to the example of the people of Israel and how they, so often, after being called by God and setting out with good intentions, fell back into their old ways and, in fact, turned against God, rebelled against Him over and over again. How, when they had left Egypt under the leadership of Moses, had been miraculously rescued from slavery, passed through the Red Sea with the walls of water on both sides, then they started to complain and be bitter and long for the flesh pots of Egypt. Their bellies longed for, never mind the fact that they were slaves in Egypt, but they somehow had it in their minds that the filling their bellies with the good food of Egypt was worth it, was worth going back. And their example shows us the danger of being complacent about our sins. When we are complacent about our sins, when we just sort of go along with them, sometimes we think, oh, it's just a little sin, nobody knows about it, it doesn't harm anybody. When we're complacent about our sins, then we become calloused. Our hearts callous over. And what seems like a little insignificant sin can lead us to having what St. Paul calls an evil, unbelieving heart that leads us to fall away from the living God. This is the hardening that we need to beware of. And this is why we have entered into this struggle of Lent. It's not just for the sake of beautiful services. It's not just for the sake of sort of impressing ourselves with our self-discipline and self-control. It's for the sake of overcoming all of those sins that we have maybe overlooked and been complacent about and neglected throughout the year. Giving special attention to rooting out all of those things, being ruthless and rooting out the passions from our hearts, all of that dependence that we have on worldly things for, you know, for our spiritual needs. Our dependence on food and on pleasure and on fame and other people thinking well of us, and on controlling our destiny, which is called pride in our tradition. Our dependence on money, our psychological dependence on money. We need money to live, but we don't need to depend on it for a sense of peace or a sense of well-being. If we remain complacent in these things, as I said, our hearts become hardened and we lose the sensitivity to God and to His leading and to His love. And this leads us to neglect Him, to turn away from Him, and it can lead ultimately to us abandoning Him. Even something that we might not imagine today. But those little sins, they grow and they fester. And so we ought to root them out with a good will. But we do have the promise in Christ that if we make it our business to grow in obedience towards God, if we seek to abandon sin and live for righteousness, that Christ can heal us. And this is what we learn from the gospel reading today. The gospel reading, which is a simple account of a healing by Christ, about a leper that came to Him. And it's a beautiful image. You need some context to understand it. This leper comes to Him and says to Him, if you will, you can make me clean. Basically saying, please make me clean. I know that you can do it. And Jesus, in order to heal him, reaches out and touches him. You have to understand, like, Jewish people did not touch those who had leprosy. Not just for fear that they would contract it themselves, but because God had commanded that those who come into contact with lepers are excluded from the people of God. That they have to remain outside of the city. That they can't come and interact with people normally. That they can't especially come and participate in the worship of God in the temple. But Jesus sees this man and his need, and he doesn't shun him, but instead he reaches out in compassion and touches him with the divine power of his love, and instantly the leper is cleansed. As Christ says, I will be clean. You know, leprosy in the Old Testament is a symbol of sin. It's a symbol of sin and how sin comes upon us like a virus and causes our lives to die even while we remain alive. You know, leprosy is a living death. Like parts of your body die and come off. And likewise, sin, when it comes upon us, it causes that creeping death, that living death, which causes us to be distanced not only from other people, but from God. Not because He shuns us, but because our sin and the death that it brings are alien to His nature. Our sin and the death that it brings cannot remain in His presence. Of course, it causes us to be alienated from one another because our sins do such harm and damage to one another, and thus destroy our relationships, bring death to our relationships. But Christ comes and does this miracle by coming into contact with the sick man. He removes his sickness. Christ likewise became a human being, and His divine nature came in contact with our human nature through the Incarnation, which we just celebrated at the Annunciation. And by coming into contact with us, He brought us that same miraculous healing. That sickness of sin, which otherwise seemed hopeless, Christ has taken away and cleansed us from it. If we let Him, if we are like that leper who comes to Him seeking that healing, who professes that faith, if you choose to, you can heal me. And no matter how often we might fall back into sin, if we return over and over again with that same faith, with that same plea, Christ will heal us. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not remain complacent in our sins, but let us instead return to Christ over and over again with a willing heart, and so be cleansed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.